How's everybody doing today so far? We all right? Good, 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 good. Hey, welcome again. If you didn't catch it at the beginning, my name is Sten, and I'm the pastor here. And if you really are new or newer to Midcurrent, let me say you picked a really great time to drop into to what's going on here, because we are right in the middle of a message series, actually what I think could be a really game-changing message series in all of our lives. It's a message series called First and Ten. It is actually not really about football at all, but it's actually a series all about life. We're just using some football terminology here, First and Ten, to describe the place in life that I think we find ourselves at the beginning of a brand new year. You see, in football, a first down signals really a fresh start, right? When you make 10 yards down the field, you then get a new set of downs and you get a new opportunity to keep moving forward and to keep moving the ball down the field. And I think for all of us here in January of 2022, I think for all of us in the lives that we are living, I think it is first and 10 for all of us as well. We have a new set of downs. Well, we have now a fresh start, and we have a brand new opportunity to get our life moving in the direction that we want to be moving. We have a brand new opportunity to pursue pursue health and healing, and to pursue the happiness and ultimately the fullness of life that God intended for us. In fact, it was Jesus himself that said that that is really precisely why he came to this earth. In John 10:10, Jesus says that the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But he says, I have come, however. I have come that they, that us, that you would have life and have it to the full. Right? That's Jesus's purpose here on earth, was to give you and to give me life to the full. And for all of us here today, it is first and 10 in our opportunity to pursue more of that life that Jesus set out to provide for us. But here's what is so puzzling to me. Here's what I at least find myself asking so often. Why is this so infrequently the case for us, that we experience this kind of life? If I was to take a quick poll here, I have a sneaking suspicion. I don't know exactly, but I have a sneaking suspicion that for far too many people today, they just wouldn't use the word full to describe their life. Maybe their calendar, maybe their to-do list, maybe their stress level, but not necessarily their life or their soul. In fact, it would be my guess that if people were honest, if you and I were honest, that maybe we'd use the exact opposite word to describe life right now. Rather than full, I think so many of us would instead use the word empty. Right? It's go, go, go always. It's do, do, do. It's accomplish, accomplish, accomplish. It's earn, earn, earn. It's achieve, achieve, achieve. And some of us have done all of that, but still there's this kind of empty, lacking feeling, maybe incomplete. I think so many of us experience this in life. In fact, to this day, one of the most fascinating interviews that I have ever watched. It was an old 60 Minutes interview with Tom Brady, the legendary NFL quarterback, Super Bowls, MVPs, more wins than anybody, millions of dollars, endorsements, good looks, supermodel wife, fame, fortune. And just in case you doze off there, no, that was not describing me. Remember, that this was Tom Brady that we're talking about here. Okay, the dude has got it all. And what makes the comments in this interview that I've seen so many times, and sometimes I go back and look again, what makes his comments so striking is the things that come out of his mouth. Now, this interview was a number of years ago, quite honestly, but Tom was still well on his way at this point to all of the success that he is known for today. And so I want you to listen to a few of the comments that he made from this interview. I'm just going to read them to you. At one point in the conversation, Tom Brady asks out loud, and I quote, why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there is something else out there for me? He goes on to explain just after this that most people would look at him and think that he has arrived, that he has reached the top. His response to that, and again, I quote, he says, me? I think, God, there's got to be more than this. It's fascinating. I mean, I'm speechless every time I'm reminded of this interview. The guy has done it all, and yet he still can't shake the emptiness. He says, there's got to be more, doesn't there? And here's the deal, friends. I can't help but wonder. I don't know for sure, but I can't help but wonder if this is maybe possibly true for any one of you. Now, I'm not sure if there's any Super Bowl champions here today. Anyone? I don't want to assume. Okay, not seeing any hands, but here's the deal. I don't think we have to be a Super Bowl champion, a Super Bowl MVP to experience this same kind of dynamic. In fact, I think more and more people today are reaching the heights of their profession, that they're hitting the peaks of success and of accomplishment as the world would define it, and yet they too feel the same lacking, confusing, empty feeling that Tom Brady is describing. Maybe you too, at this point in your life, at this season in your life, maybe you too are asking, is this it? I mean, maybe you too are thinking to yourself, there's got to be more than this. When the 60 Minutes interview plays out, the interviewer asks Tom Brady, so what's the answer? To which Tom immediately and emphatically replies, almost with a laugh, he says, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. He repeats himself. Well, here's the deal, folks. If you too wish that you knew about how it is that we really find this kind of fullness and this kind of wholeness and satisfaction in life, how it is that we fill that empty feeling, then I'm really glad you're here. I think you should be glad you're here today, because in somewhat of a sharp exchange that Jesus has with his disciples, I think Jesus reveals the answer to us about how it is that we really do find and discover this life to the full. And so I want you to see what it is today. If you will, turn your attention with me. You'll see it in just a moment, but turn your attention with me to Matthew chapter 16. Jesus, at this point, he has just started hinting at his pending suffering and his eventual death, and his disciples will have none of it. The Bible even says that Peter pulled Jesus aside and reprimanded him, right, for saying such a thing. To Peter, this was, unthinkable, inappropriate, almost blasphemous kind of talk, that this kind of suffering and death was on the way for Jesus. He's going, man, surely this is not the fate of their long-awaited Messiah. Surely this is not the fate of someone of the stature and of the greatness of Jesus. And so Jesus responds to Peter by saying essentially like, dude, you don't get it, do you? And I don't know, I think maybe he would say the same thing to some of us, but essentially he says to Peter, like, you don't get it, do you, man? You are seeing, what he says to him, you are seeing things from a human point of view and not from God's point of view. And then he turns to all of his disciples to start making a few things clear. And then I think he's going to make a few things clear for us as well. And this is what I want us to dial into this morning. And so we're going to pick up in verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, he turns to them now, and he says, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. Right? Give up your own way, take your cross, and follow me. Now, for those of you who are maybe not sold on this, Jesus thing quite yet, you're kind of kicking the tires of, the idea of really being a Jesus follower, maybe that kind of statement in your mind makes your decision easy. You're going like, okay, no thanks, right? If that's what's required of me, then I'll pass on this whole deal. But for any of you who are curious, regardless of where you are at with Jesus right now, for any of you who are curious about or interested in the kind of fullness and the kind of full and whole life that I've been talking about that Jesus came to provide for us, which I think is all of us who would be interested in that kind of fullness, then it's what Jesus says next that I think demands our attention. And perhaps demands some kind of response from us one way or another. Here is what Jesus says to them next. He says, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Some translations say you will find it. You will find that kind of life, right? If you try to hang on to your life, you try to hold on to it too tightly, you try to protect it and to preserve it, you try to provide it for yourself, you're going to lose it. But if you are ready to lose your life, to give it away, if you are more open-handed, if you're willing to empty yourself out for something greater for the sake of Jesus, then you will find life. I think what Jesus wants us to understand is this. Jesus follower or not, I think what Jesus wants us to understand is this, that the fullness of our lives, it is measured by our readiness to give our lives away. Hold on too tight and you're going to lose it, but lose it for Jesus' sake and you will find it. See, I just wonder if so many of us here today, those of us tuning in online, I just wonder if so many of us from Tom Brady on down the line, I just wonder if we don't ultimately find it and we don't experience this kind of fullness in life, because if you think about it, it is so counterintuitive that we would experience a fullness in life by giving more of our life away. It's a little counterintuitive. Right? This kind of thinking, if we really kind of examine it and put it under the microscope, this kind of thinking runs almost directly against what the world would tell anyone about where we find true joy and happiness and fullness in life. And so in a pursuit of fullness and wholeness and happiness in life, we don't really often think about this kind of, Jesus-like stuff, because somehow it doesn't equate in our mind, right? It's not the kind of stuff that creates the kind of life that we are told that we should have or that we are told that we should want. Because if you think about it, when it comes to this kind of Jesus-like thinking, the titles are never impressive enough. The opportunities are never attractive enough. The responsibilities are never appealing enough. The job descriptions are never really respectable enough. The salaries are never large enough. The lights are never bright enough. And the platforms are never big enough, right? And so we think, well, that's surely none of the Jesus-like stuff is going to get me to where I want to be. And so we convince ourselves, no, that giving too much of ourselves away, We convince ourselves that that's just not really a very smart or wise or responsible thing to do. We think, well, it's certainly not the thing that's going to lead to the life and the fullness of life that we really want. And so instead, what do we do? All right, as Jesus puts it, we try to hang on to and hold on to life a little too tightly. In so many ways, we assume, hey, if it's going to be, it's going to be up to me, right? And so instead, we play a different kind of ball game. We play a game of self-sufficiency. We play the game of self-protection, of self-preservation, of self-promotion, and of self-help in many ways. I mean, is this not kind of a picture of the world that we live in? I mean, sometimes when I step back and look at it, it feels like the world today, all around us, it is tailored to and it is dominated by a fascination with self and what we can do for ourselves, right? Self-help books. They are stocked on every bookshelf, both in stores and online. They're some of the most talked about and best-selling books every year. Self-help is a huge market today. Any uncertainty in life, it drives us into fierce self-protection. Make sure I'm good. Make sure I got what I need. Our own kind of scarcity, half glass empty kind of mindset propels us into perpetual self-preservation, right? We're convinced sometimes that there will never be enough of fill in the blank to make us happy unless we would store it up and keep it and collect it for ourselves. Our egos drive us toward never-ending self-promotion. I mean, is this not the world of social media in a way today, right? It's built on self-promotion, and surely there is a lot of good online. I'm not trying to just throw the whole thing out, but to me, man, it's just so saturated with self-promotion. Here's the message that we are told and asked to believe, that your life, that my life will be complete if we can just get our message, if you can just get your message or your company or yourself or your product out in front of as many people as possible or out in front of more people than the other guy or the other gal, right? Then we will have arrived, right? 100 more likes or 100 more follows or 100 more clicks or 100 more sales, and then that emptiness will go away. And yet no amount of likes or clicks or whatever seems to make the emptiness go away. Last but certainly not least, right, it's our pride at times that convinces us of our own self-sufficiency. I got this. I don't need anyone else. I don't need to rely on anything else. I can provide for me everything that I could possibly want or need in life. And yet, I think if people were honest, no amount of stuff really ever satisfies the soul in the way that we hope it would. See, Mid-Current, I think many, many, many good people have gone before us and traveled this road. I think many good people travel that same path today. Maybe you've never really stopped long enough to consider it before, but maybe that's the path in some ways that you're carving out for yourself right now. I think the truth is that Jesus would say to us, look, you can play that game if you want to, right? And many of us do. You can do it all and you can achieve it all and accomplish it all and accumulate it all, and you can hold on tightly to all of it. You can have the wife and the kids and the home and the white picket fence, and you can have the fame and the fortune and the success and all the accolades and the titles and the responsibilities that gain the attention and gain the respect of the world around you. But at some point, I think this is the point that Jesus is trying to make, at some point, none of it will provide for you the remedy to the emptiness that you feel inside. I think that too many of us at some point, that so many of us at some point, will find ourselves echoing the words of the great theologian Bono, who sings, "But I still haven't found what I'm looking for." You can reach the top. You can have everything and collect everything you want. You can, you know, do all that you want to do, provide everything for your wife and kids that they could ever ask for, and check every single box and to-do list that you've created for yourself. But I think there is still inevitably going to be some itch that you try to scratch somewhere else, and there's going to be some burden. I think there's still going to be some burden in your life, some emptiness, some discontent that you then try to blame on someone else. God, maybe. Your spouse, your kids, your boss, your pastor, your church, right? If they would just get their stuff together, then I wouldn't be so empty. I wouldn't be so agitated. I wouldn't be so anxious any longer, right? Self-help and self-focus eventually runs dry, and I think so does the heart then, and so does soul. In fact, Jesus, in the very next words out of his mouth, Jesus warns his disciples of this very thing. Look at what he asks. He kind of asks a question of his disciples in the very next verse. He says this, "And what do you benefit?" he asks them. Maybe he asks you and me. He says, "And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul?" What do you benefit? You gain the whole world and in turn lose your soul. Truth is, no one is stopping you from playing that kind of game if you want to. I just don't think that any of us will be satisfied with the end result. And so I think if we're going to prevent this from happening to us, I think if we're really going to experience life to the full that Jesus is getting at, that he came to provide for us, I think our focus has to be on a different kind of self. I think there needs to be a shift in us, and that shift is this. There's got to be a shift from self-help and the self-protection and the self-preservation and the self-promotion. I think there's got to be a shift from the self-help kind of thinking to a self-sacrifice kind of thinking. I'm not saying you got to quit your job and become a pastor. That's not the kind of shift that I'm talking about. It's not career. It's not vocation. It's just a mindset. It's a lens through which we look at the world and we look at our part in the world. That's a shift in mindset from self-help to self-sacrifice. How I could give up a part of me for something greater. How I could give up a part of me for Jesus' sake and for Jesus' priorities in the world. Folks, the reason why we are constantly inviting you to give some part of your time and of your talent and of your ability to God's work at Midcurrent, right? The reason why we make, you know, a big invitation today that Haley stands up here and interviews our staff and our team, right? The reason why we make that kind of invitation to you today and any other Sunday we do, it's not because we're cheap and we're desperate for free help. It's because we really do believe, right, that when you give your time and your talent to God's work here or somewhere, when you do really give some part of your life away for Jesus' sake, we believe that with the right mindset, you will truly find this kind of life to the full. The kind of life that Jesus invites us to and has ultimately made available to every single one of us. I would just argue, right? It's not a shift in jobs. It's not a shift in careers. It's not a shift in vocation. It's just a shift of the way that we wake up every single day. I would argue that we've got to wake up every single day of our lives with something more to accomplish than just punching in and punching out. I would argue that there's got to be something more on our minds every day than a dream job or a dream home or a dream car or a dream vacation. There's got to be someone or something that you ultimately would partner with to accomplish so much more than just self-help and self-protection and self-preservation and self-sufficiency and self-promotion. I would suggest to you that there has to be instead a daily dose of self-sacrifice for the sake of Jesus and the things that Jesus cares about in the world. Your life and my life has got to be about something bigger than ourselves. It's got to be about moving something bigger down the playing field and playing your part, however big or small, in making that happen. Otherwise, and here's what worries me, for me, for you, for all of us, otherwise, you'll be the Tom Brady of your own world. You'll be the Tom Brady of your own profession. You'll be the Tom Brady of your own sphere of influence. See, my fear is that maybe you too, that you'd be the best and that you'd be the brightest and you'd be the richest and the emptiest person in the world too. Jesus says here, keep it for yourself and you're gonna lose it. But lose it and you will find it. Friends, the fullness of life, it is found in the act of giving our life away to something more, to something bigger than ourselves. Now here's the deal, right? There are many, many things in this world that are bigger, right, to give yourself to. There are endless causes and priorities in the world to try to, you know, move down the field. But based on what Jesus is suggesting, I just happen to think that he and his priorities are some of the priorities that are worth the greatest amount of sacrifice and the greatest amount of investment. I think that the kingdom work, the eternity kind of work that we do here at Midcurrent, trying to represent as many of Jesus's priorities as possible, I just think it happens to be the best sacrifice and the best investment that you could possibly make. And that is exactly why we would take such a large portion of a Sunday like this to give you a specific and a personal invitation to be a part of it all. An invitation to join us as we join God in God's mission here on earth. This kind of invitation is an invitation to provide you an opportunity to make that shift if you need it. It's an opportunity for you to make that shift from self-help to self-sacrifice in a way that could uncover, maybe for the first time ever, the life that is awaiting you. So let me close just by asking you then a few questions, Midcurrent. Right? Do you ever wake up wondering what all of this is for? I mean, do you ever wonder in your own life, in your own arena, do you ever wonder if there is more than just the kind of the rat race that you are running? I mean, despite the whatever success or accomplishments you might have experienced, do you ever stop and think to yourself, is this it? If so, and I think we've all been there, if so, then I would encourage you to think about and to pray about where maybe this shift might make a difference for you. Ask, is there anywhere in my life, God, where this kind of shift from self-help to self-sacrifice needs to become a reality? I really do believe that each and every one of us here today, each and every one of us tuning in online, I believe that each and every one of us is God's servant. I believe we have all been gifted with dreams and visions and talents and abilities that could move God's work here on earth way, 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 way down the field. I believe that you have unique, custom-fit, God-designed abilities to impact his kingdom, to impact his priorities, and to impact specifically his work here at Midcurrent Church. And I do believe that if you were to make 2022 the year that you decided to give more of your time and more of your heart and more of your talent and your abilities away, I really do believe that you truly would find life to the full. Believe you find something worth living for every single day. And it's a pretty good way to live. And this is my prayer for you and for me this year. Let me pray. God, we have to look no further than your son, Jesus, for not only the instruction and for the wisdom of what it means to give some piece of us away, God, but we have to look no further than him for the example. I mean, it was his own words too that said, "Hey, it's not, you know, bread and water that gives him the fuel to do what he does. It's doing the will of the one who sent him. God, I pray that the same thing would be true for us. God, not that we would shift jobs and shift careers and, you know, turn our whole, you know, way of life upside down. I just pray that we would wake up every single day with a new set of lenses on through which we look at the world and the opportunities that we have before us. God, I pray that something would shift in our heart that moves from self-help and self-protection, God, to self-sacrifice, that we would look for ways that we can give more of ourselves and more of our life away so that in turn we might make more of your priorities in this world, God, and we might also discover life to the full that you have promised us and invited us to. God, that's my prayer for each and every one of us here, that you would accompany us on that journey and accompany us to do that kind of work in our life this year in 2022. God, would you help us to do that? Would you be gracious to us each and every step along the way? We pray these things in your name. Amen. Hey, we're so glad to have you here. One way or another, our hope is that you might take this opportunity, whatever first and 10 opportunity you have this December, to take some kind of next step in a relationship with God. That is why we are here. We exist to create opportunities for real people and a real God to meet and to take another step in a real relationship with him. That step might be linking arms with us. We'd be glad to have you scan that QR code or jump onto the app. We'd be happy to have you find your way into one of our MC circles so that somehow, some way, you might take advantage of this opportunity that is first in 10 for you. And if nothing else, we hope to see you right back here next Sunday at 10:30 for the fourth and final week of this